This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and good news. Hello and good news. This week's episode guest is Jake Sprague. You've seen him around the town, on the stage in Los Angeles. He does the improv life. You can catch him performing many places and times, but most regularly with the UCB main stage, Herald Team Rococo. This is their third year together, which is a while. And gosh, they're so dang funny. So dang funny. One of my favorite teams to go see. You can follow Jake on the Twitter at Jake Sprague. That's spelled S-P-R-A-G-U-E. Or also you can go to boardwalkaudio.com, see the link, see the Twitter link, and you can find it that way. His tweets are gems. It's very worth it. Jake and I talk about so many things. This episode is pushing an hour and a half because here's why, guys. We cover 8 good news stories, and that's an exact number. 8. Plus, actually, it's 9 because of Jake's personal story. So yeah, like, dive on in right after I'm done talking. If you like the podcast, please rate and review on iTunes. And hey, if you shop on Amazon, why don't you use my little link if you feel like it? No pressure, but go to www.boardwalkaudio.com/thegoodnews and then click support our artists. That'll take you to Amazon, and then you just shop around like you normally would, and it's all normal from then on out. Great. Okay, let's dive into some good news. 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 Hello. Good news. I think it's time we had some frickin' real good news. Okay, well, I never know how to, like, start. I'm always like, here we go.
That's good.
Let's, we'll start. My first story that I have to tell you about. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't really give you the... I think I kind of did, sort of, but not fully. I'm just going to tell you some stories.
Okay. And do you want me to just enjoy them? Or how much do you want from me? Because I could do any level of it.
Yeah, like keep it breezy. Okay. Conversational.
Super breezy. Good. Okay, great.
Like something makes you think of something, go ahead and, you know,
great,
give your life experience with it.
Awesome.
Okay, this one is very nice. And also, at first I was like, what? This lady, her roof blew off her house. That's not the good news part, obviously.
Yeah.
But so it was in Odessa, Texas, and she's like a grandma who is, oh man, I thought it was just her grandchildren, but it's her great grandchildren that she takes care of.
Oh, wow.
She does not look, I'm surprised because I watched the video and she just looks like she's maybe 50s or 60s, but obviously maybe a little. Anyway, she takes...
What's the youngest? How young could you be and have great-grandchildren? Like, realistically, let's say you had kids when you were 16, right?
Yeah.
Which is pretty young. And then your kid had a kid at 16, then you're 32, another kid at 16. Hey, I guess you could be in your 50s.
Yeah.
You could.
Yeah. That's very... Yeah.
That's the dream, isn't it?
And then you're done. Well, unless you're a great grandmother taking care of your great grandchildren.
Yeah.
You could be done with those kids. That's the upside to teen pregnancy, I always think. I'm like,
you always think this? Good.
then they're out of the house by the time you're in your 30s and you're like ready to rock that corporate job you've always wanted.
That's true. You know? And you have a lot of perspective too, because you've almost lived like 2 lives, 2 adolescents back to back. And now you're thrown into being an adult. It's exciting. It really is. People always say it's a leg up to have a kid very young. Yeah,
I hear that a lot.
It helps you in a big way. Yeah.
But so this lady, she, yeah, her roof got blown off. She was on the news about it. Obviously, the news went there right away and was like, your roof is gone? And she was like, yep. And then two strangers, one of them owns the local construction company, Abernathy Construction. They were like, we're going to fix your roof. And so I think the next day or next couple days, they patched it up so that at least there's a roof.
Yeah.
And then...
I assume tarps at first, like the car window with the garbage bag in it.
Yeah, there's a picture of two men holding a crazy tarp that's like blowing. And yeah, they're gonna replace the whole thing. Abernathy Construction.
Ah, isn't that so great?
I love that.
When people get to do that. Because we can, I feel like we can spend so much time, I guess I'm talking about me, we could spend so much time focused on like a lot of bad things or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you can go outside and pick up some trash and volunteer somewhere.
Yeah.
And one makes a dramatic impact in your life and other people's lives, and the other one just makes you miserable the whole time.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that they did that.
Me too. And they're just regular dudes. And one of the guys said, if you ever see somebody in the street that needs any help or has any sort of need, find out what you could do for them, because your helping hand will leave them feeling good and wanting to help somebody else. It's all truth.
I mean, yeah, the thing about this guy is he's very truthful. That's so true and so lovely. What a wonderful show you have.
Oh, thanks.
That's just so, it's weird because I feel like, I don't know, I almost say we all the time, like I'm talking about people generally, but it's really just me. Like, I feel like you can focus on bad stuff.
Yes.
But it puts you in a bad state.
It really does.
And if you focus on good things and other people, it puts you in a good state.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a great show. I mean, we're really at the start, but I already think it's pretty fantastic.
Thank you, Jay. It was like I was telling you when I was talking to you about maybe being on it, that study that they did, that if you hear things that are good, you want to be good too.
Yeah.
I guess it's like the opposite of the broken window theory, because the broken window theory is if you see a building and it has a broken window, I forget who did the experiment.
I don't know who did the experiment, but I was just listening to Malcolm Gladwell's Tipping Point, and he talks about the broken window, like broken window theory for policing and all this stuff. And it's kind of goes to what you're saying, in that if things are bad all around, you don't feel like you need to do anything good. You just like, whatever, I'll throw trash somewhere. But if things are good all around, you're like, oh, I guess I'm going to take this to... I'm heavily focused on trash, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that through like this whole time. I feel like I'm going to keep bringing up trash on the street, which isn't one of my big things. If everything's like good around, you often don't want to do a bad thing.
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
There is a great project that I've talked about in a past episode, but it's called Beautify Earth. I love names that are like, this is what we do.
Yeah.
But they do art in places that have blight or buildings are run down. They do giant murals and like turn it into art pieces. And it has completely turned around neighborhoods. Like businesses that were suffering or get tagged all the time, like all of a sudden their business goes up. Just makes everything.
Ah, that's so interesting.
I love it so much.
That's so fascinating that things work like that. But I mean, of course they do.
Yeah.
Like, it's in a small sense, it's why like good looking people get treated so well.
Right.
Because it's like, wow, they're great. Like, I'm just, you see a good looking person, you're like, I just want to do anything I can for them.
Yeah.
Like, they look great. And I assume being around them is going to make me feel good.
Yeah.
And it does.
And it really does. It does. So that's that little one. I'll post it on I say this every week. I'm going to post the stuff on the Facebook so you can see it. But there's like a... If you want to send a check to Abernathy Construction, I don't know. I mean, that's what they have on the news. I'll post the mailing address. What if I was like, and Jake, can you write out a check?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a checkbook with me right now, but as soon as I get home, I will send that check.
The way I said that implied that I wanted everyone listening to send a check. But yeah, it has a little thing like, this is Abernathy's construction info. Here's some good stuff about the sun. That sounded like a segue and it just wasn't.
Oh.
This is about California. I guess that our sun is so crazy that electricity prices have turned negative because of how many solar plants we have. Not for us, not for the people paying, but yeah, there's so much sun and solar power stored up that like the stock, I had a hard time understanding this article.
That's good because this was all going over my head and I'm just like staring at you nodding like, well, that's what would happen. It would, you'd get to a negative sum game at some point.
I guess, I don't know. There's lots of graphs and ups and downs, but
more ups than downs, it sounds like.
Yeah. The price of electricity, because it's sold and traded just like freaking everything in our world, you know? I guess it's been negative lately because solar power is making it so that it, like, we haven't needed electricity. We're using solar power.
Okay. Yeah. That's really, I don't know how trading things that are like sort of like big idea, like how do you trade water? How do you trade electricity? How do you all that stuff? I do love solar power. Mm-hmm. And like I was certified to install solar panels and stuff like that. And I got I got like really into it for a while just because of how good it is in comparison. I think good's the only word I know. I can't describe something in a more intelligent way, but how much more efficient it is than coal. And I'm getting these numbers wrong that I'm about to tell you, but
that's okay.
If it was right, it would be incredible. And it's close to this. It's the idea that the 2 tons or 1 ton of silica that it takes to make a solar panel.
Yeah.
Over its lifetime will produce as much energy as either 50,000 or 500,000. I believe it's 50,000 tons of coal.
Wow.
Which is insane. Yeah. That's over its lifetime because they'll last for 30 years and generate energy the whole time. It's incredibly efficient and it's to me it's criminal that it's not everything. I can't believe it.
I know. It's so good. What is the energy, the people in charge of it? The energy department, the Department of Energy.
There yeah, there you go.
The DOE. They put out a thing earlier this year that had the stats of like alternative energies versus fossil fuels and coal. And they were like, alternative energies are saving us more money, making us more money, and providing more jobs. This is not anything we're making up. Here's all the stats of our entire country. And it was so cool to see that and be like, yay! People, it's becoming... I get so frustrated that it's just not... I'm like, why did we even ever start with anything else except the sun, you know?
That's true.
But it makes me really happy that at least we're headed in the direction.
It's a slow movement towards something a little bit better.
Yeah. Talking about that, one of the articles connected to this one, which made me laugh really hard and I also think is great, is that the Kentucky Coal Museum just installed solar panels because it's going to save them money.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Well, that's everything, right?
Yeah.
I think... when you want people to do the right thing, you have to, it can't just be doing the right thing. It also has to be like economical is not the only reason, but it also has to be good for them in another way. Yeah. It would be great if everyone put solar panels on their roof, but if putting solar panals on your roof costs you $500,000, well, not everyone can do it.
Exactly.
But if it can come down to a price where people can afford it and they save money, now you're doing a good thing, and it's good for the person.
Yes.
So exactly. of course they do. Of course they're going to put it on their roof. Yeah.
Now, if we could just find a way to deal with all that dang trash.
Yeah, right? All the trash on the street. What are we going to do?
The average person does make, I think, 4 pounds of trash a day. It's really upsetting how much.
Boy, that is a lot of trash. I'm sure I do. I'm sure I make that much trash. Yeah.
Yep. Let's see. Where am I at now? I'll go into... Every week I do kind of like a GoFundMe or a fundraiser that I think is cool. And this week it's not a GoFundMe. Just a new fact that I found is one of my best friends is a teacher, and I bet she's going to be kind of sad that I just found out about this. But there's a fundraising site called EdBacker, which at first I was like, who is EdBacker? But it's an education backing fundraising site.
If I'm being honest, and it might be because of how you set it up, I knew right away that's what it was. I was never confused that there was an EdBacker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, who's this guy? Who would name a fundraising site after themselves? No, it's for education. And I had never really thought about this, but schools go into massive debt because of school lunches. A lot of, it's really sad how many kids, and my teacher friend has told me this too, like how many kids of hers show up not having breakfast and they don't have a lunch or money for lunch.
Sure.
And so schools, because most schools are not going to be like, well, tough luck, Jimmy. They'll give them lunch and then they get like a negative account balance, but it's not like they can pay it off. So then the school ends up paying it.
Right.
So a cool thing that people can do is, if you get a real fundraising fire under you, go just go pay off some school lunch debt. So Austin, somebody in Austin recently started an EdBacker, or somebody, I think it was like the Austin Independent School District, started an EdBacker to pay off their lunch debt, and they were looking for probably 10,000 total, I think. They got 18,000. And then just a lot of other schools have paid off debt this week because somebody made a tweet that was like, here's a cool thing you can do.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, oh, yeah. So you can pay off individual students, or you can just go into the school and be like, for the meals, for the lunches.
That is obviously... schools would give kids lunches. I never thought they wouldn't, but I never thought of the cost behind it and what they did with that.
Yeah, exactly. I had no idea.
Wow. Well, that's really cool. I mean, that's a very cool thing you can do that seems would have like an immediate impact. And I think it would encourage the school to be like, well, I guess we're just going to keep giving these lunches because people want the kids to have it. So we're going to support it. That's great.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Oh, okay. I'm trying to remember some stats because the numbers you just threw out about the solar system, I do that every week, even when numbers are in front of me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know, probably 100,000. Did I just say solar system?
Yeah, I think you did, but I'm not here to correct you at all.
solar panels. Of the 80,000 meals served through the Austin Independent School District each day, about 700 of them are courtesy meals, which I was like, whoa, 700 a day?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a ton.
And those courtesy meals are usually like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and a milk and a veggie for the kids who have fallen below zero on their account. And then sometimes, like, if they're out of those, you just get to pick a menu item like a regular kid.
Like a regular person.
Those meals add up to $350,000 a year.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So this 18,000 they raised is awesome, but it's still like Man, I just had no, I had no idea. And then I realized I don't even know how schools work. I was watching a video full of all stats, and it's like around $9,000 per child each to be in school for a year.
Yeah, that's what it costs. The, like, that's what taxpayers put into. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so much money.
I can't. It's one of those numbers where I can't tell if that's so much money or if that's a great deal.
Deal.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Where it's like $9,000, that's a lot. But it's like, well, how much would it cost to have a babysitter watch your child mm-hmm. for 8 hours a day? And then, like, they have, like, not only watch your child, they will come pick it up in a giant bus and then take it to their house and watch your child and teach them things. I can't tell if that's a great deal
yeah.
or a lot of money. It feels like, honestly, it a sounds, great deal.
Yeah, when you say it like that, I think it's a great deal. Yeah, my friend Hannah Yaz, who I keep bringing up, she teaches fourth grade, and she has, I think, over 20 students in her class. And she's like, if when I break down, like, if she's like, I don't do it, but I did once, and then I just couldn't think about it. But when she breaks down her salary,
mm-hmm.
she's getting paid an average of, like, after the whole year, because she gets salaried, it's like $1 a kid an hour or something.
Jeez.
Dollar. Yeah, it's like lower than ever a babysitter would be.
Yeah.
Because that $9,000, it is a great deal. That $9,000.
Isn't it a great deal? Because I'm just thinking, if I ask you, how many days are kids in school? Like 200? 180?
Yeah.
This number, by the way, came out of nowhere. Yeah. So if I'm off by so many days, I would not be surprised.
I feel like it's 200. So minus summer, that's roughly 90 days, sometimes mm-hmm. less, depending on how cool your school is.
Yeah, that's true.
Christmas time, you get some weeks.
We're never going to figure this number out. Okay.
Like 200.
Okay, let's say it's 200
oh,
days,
minus
right?
weekends, though.
Oh.
You know what? 180 sounds great. I think that's
okay.
right.
180 days. And how much would you charge to watch my I don't have a son, but in this reality I do. How much would you mm-hmm. charge to watch my son for 8 hours?
I would charge you like $130.
Okay. You charge me $130.
Right? That's 8 times, I'm saying 15 an hour-ish, 20. I'm not an experienced babysitter.
Okay, so 15 an hour at 8 hours is what? One is that 140? Nope, 120? Whatever. Boy. I've set up a scenario where we have to do a lot of math in our head based on numbers we don't know. So let's say you said 130. It's mm-hmm. $130. And there's 180 days. If you just take 100 times 100, that's already $10,000.
Yeah, it's a great, we've got a great deal going on.
This is such a good deal.
And then you've got computers, you've got field trips.
That's true.
You've got science projects,
mm-hmm.
Art materials.
Being around other people. I mean, yeah. How valuable is that? Being around 30 other people, you have to...
Yeah.
Learn how to interact with all these people. You have to understand a system of like hierarchy, like, hey, no one's talking while the teacher's talking. You have to you learn all these things for $9,000. I think they could charge 10.
That's a
they
steal.
Could charge 11,000 if you ask me. That's a great deal.
Anybody who wants to complain about their tax paying dollars, we'll just sit down in front of them and
yeah, let's really break it down.
A perfectly broken down explaining of schools. Well, yeah, guys, if you have an extra dollar, this whole episode is just going to be me.
Yeah.
Write a check.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'll write another. Okay.
Yeah, that one makes me happy and something I never would have thought about. So this tiny little Iowa paper won the Pulitzer Prize for editorial writing.
What?
Yeah, because they like don't take shit. And they like I guess there's a lot of stuff going on. So it's Storm Lake Times. So Storm Lake, I think, is the name of the town. There's like a lot of agricultural. Well, because Iowa is that's their gimmick. Mm-hmm.
really leaning hard on that gimmick, Iowa.
And because of that, there's like corruption, like the mega agricultural guys. There's like corruption, and there's apparent. It sounds like a whole Aaron Brockovich situation happening. Like there's a waterworks lawsuit against the agricultural interests for funneling nitrates into the Raccoon River, polluting a lot of primary water sources for the Des Moines residents. But then on the flip side, I think the deal is like, obviously all these big ag guys, that's what pays for the like economy.
Right.
So it would be very easy to not, but this paper, I'm just not completing any sentences. This paper was like, we don't care. And they did really good journalism, gave all the facts, and they were like, they shook their fingers really hard at these bad agricultural guys.
Did anything come of it? Do you know if there was any, like, anything?
If anything bad stopped?
Yeah. Or if it was like one of those, I'm trying to think of something I feel like I saw recently where everything was exposed, like, we expose the truth, but it's like, man, it's still happening. It's that's there. The truth of whatever it is.
It seems like maybe it's kind of like that's the truth.
Yeah. Which is good. It's good for people to know. It's like, I guess it's like the NSA thing where they're listening to all of us and we're like, I can't believe it. And they're like, yeah, well, we're still gonna.
Yeah.
And then we're like, well.
We know.
Well, we don't like it. And they're like, well, you know.
Okay.
We don't, I mean, we're just gonna do it.
Yeah. We're.
But that's really cool. Because that is one of those things where, especially in a small area, I found a rubber band, especially in a small area, you know that when they were researching this, there were a lot of people who gave them that, like, hey,
you shush out about
maybe it. Stop digging into this one, huh? You know, just drink your dirty water. And they're like, I don't know. I don't Something's know. Going on over there.
Feels fishy to me.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. And what... It's very cool they won a Pulitzer because... Is it a Pulitzer or a Pulitzer?
Oh, good cue. I don't know. I think Pulitzer... Well, do people say it different maybe based on their geographical location?
Oh, I was going to do it based on level of education. Like, if you're really highly educated, you'd be like, of course it's a Pulitzer. Mm-hmm. But... dummies like me are like, yeah, it's a Pulitzer. They won one. They won one for corn stuff. Yeah, that's really great because it's totally thankless. They're going to write that. And what is going to happen in their life is a lot of people in the town are going to hate them because their entire town is based on this. There's going to be a lot of information from the other side being like, no, it didn't happen. And they're like, God, sign. Like, why did we even do this? Boom. Pulitzer. Now they know why they did it.
Yeah. Good writing. I also didn't know Iowa. Is it University of Iowa? Something, the big school in Iowa?
I think they
have
University of Michigan there.
What's the one that's like the place
That was a bad joke, by the way.
It went right over my head.
Well, in Iowa, the University of Michigan. It wasn't a good joke, but I feel like I had to let people know it was a joke because it didn't even land with a, well, obviously not. Yeah.
My head was like, no, it's called something else.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm guessing University of Iowa. Are they the Cornhuskers? Is someone else the Cornhuskers?
Let's find out.
Ooh, this will be the first time we've had a lot of questions, no answers. This will be the first answer we're getting.
We're gonna Iowa. I started with Iowa, so I'm just gonna put University after it. Okay, University of Iowa mascot. It must be. This is a side trail that really holds no water.
I think whatever we're gonna get out of it's gonna be exciting.
Herky the Herky the Hawk.
Herky the Hawk?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that.
Is the University of Iowa's mascot. And, okay. Oh, but what's their team name?
So they could be the Hawks.
Right. But sometimes mascots are real left field.
That's true. That makes no sense.
Like, nope, it makes sense. They're called the Hawkeyes.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, then it does. It all adds up.
Well, there's a place, is it maybe Iowa? Somewhere in that whole stretch, must be South Dakota, called the Corn Palace. This is another side trail that goes nowhere. One time I went there.
This is a school called the Corn Palace?
No, it's just a place.
Oh.
I had to do... This is along the lines of that Michigan joke. It just is. It's fine. We can just.
Great.
Next thing. Oh, there is this cool program in Los Angeles called Awaken Arts. And I'm very excited it exists. I did a story about. Now I can't remember the name of it, but it's on the East Coast, and basically what they do is they use art to go in, and they specifically go into juvenile detention centers, and they work with kids, and they like do a lot of art and get them to work through whatever got them there, so, and then work with job placement and having a regular life afterwards so that they get normally integrated back into society. And I was like, why doesn't LA have anything like that? But we do. It's not necessarily detention centers, but they do work with at-risk and troubled youth. They work with veterans. They have a couple different, they have like four different programs. And they just do basically art therapy and like getting people to use their creativity and yeah. And they do awesome, what is it called? Galleries? Exhibits?
Yeah.
Projects. They went into the Philippines after Typhoon Haiyan. Is that the name of that one? And they helped like 4,500 people with building projects and translation services, and they like did a bunch of art with them and got them like back to being, I don't know, coming back to being a regular person after trauma, but through art.
That's, yeah. I mean, things like that, it's weird because I think people in bad circumstances or people who have done bad things or whatever, it's, I feel like there's like a natural knee jerk to sort of give them what they're putting out there. So if someone like did something bad, they're a criminal and they're in prison, I think the natural knee jerk is to like treat them poorly because of the thing they did.
Yeah.
But when you put someone in sort of a different headspace, like they've gone through all this bad stuff and it's like, we're just doing something fun, creative, positive. I'm bringing that to someone that maybe other people would treat poorly.
Yeah.
I do think it totally changes your brain.
Yeah.
And what you're doing and what you're focused on.
Yeah.
I feel like we both do improv comedy. And I feel like improv does that in a big way.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, it like teaches you to I don't know, like teaches you to like be with another person and be silly and sort of like build something.
Yeah.
And everyone, I wouldn't be surprised. I have no way to back this up, but I wouldn't be surprised if after you did like an improv practice or an improv show or whatever, the choices you make and the way you treat people in your life is probably much more positive than had you not done that, had you not had that creative sort of experience.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, I agree with that. That fact. That
that fact. You gotta agree with it now because it's a fact.
Yeah, and I think that made me think of this one I talked about, I think, 2 weeks ago called The Forgiveness Project, which is even more so what we were talking about. It uses art and, or it doesn't use art, but they have an exhibit called The F Word where they work with people who have been severely wronged in their life.
and they work through forgiving the person who has wronged them. But then on the flip side, they also go into prisons or detention centers, and they work with people who are criminals. Like, because I feel like a lot of the time, if you're in that situation, something also bad happened to you.
Yeah.
You know? And then you're going, they're going through their own trauma, and they're not being treated like a person anymore, which just makes the cycle like go round and round and round. Yeah. Yeah, I'm very excited about this. I want to do, I feel like I'm just kind of talking the top layer of what it is, because I want to look into their different projects they've done more. But the basic facts are they at-risk youth. So any kids who are having issues at school or drug problems are at risk.
Yeah.
That. And then I love the PTSD thing too. Yeah, and then going overseas and helping in catastrophes is like such a smart, like to be able to go and help rebuild while also being like, here.
Yeah. Color this in. I do think if I was handed a coloring book in that moment, I would be very difficult. I think, just me personally, I know that I wouldn't take it well. They'd be like, this is just going to get you a different headspace. I'd be like, get it out of here. We need batteries.
We need some kind of food. Yeah. I think one of the things I liked about the... I'm so mad at myself that I can't remember the name of it. And this is like one of my very early episodes. But one of the things I really liked about that one is when they did art therapy programs and had kids do art to express themselves, they never shied away from like the real stuff. Like there was no censoring or no like, that's not really okay. It was like, just get it out. And because otherwise you're just going to suppress all of this and turn into a terrible monster. Later on.
Yeah.
Which I think improv helps with. I think, a lot too.
Yeah. I love, this is like kind of a, maybe a weird thing to like, but I do like when people express themselves, even when, and this, there's like a fine line between this and bad things, but even when their thoughts or opinions or whatever are kind of like negative or ignorant or whatever, I do think it's overall much more positive for people being able to express themselves, because when they don't get to express themselves, they like all get together and they're like, all right, we're going to form a secret organization that, you know, like that does like a bad thing. You're like, okay, it would have been better if we would have let them talk about it and been like, I don't know if that's a good idea, but I do think like, especially like people who've been through a lot, I'm relatively lucky because I've been through some stuff in my life, but it's nothing compared to, you know, some stories you hear.
Yeah.
But even those situations, I think it's always good to be able to like talk about it and have an opinion that's wrong, like think something like when you're talking about they don't like censor their art, because you could be like, hey, this is pretty grotesque and we don't like it. They could do that, but I don't think that's going to help that person.
No, it will not. It'll make them feel worse.
You start like an art thing to like get everyone excited about it, but there's just a couple people where you're like, not your art,
but not that
your
one.
Art's bad art. Everyone else is doing really good art, except for your art. I don't love it.
It's not good.
And look, I talk to friends. I show them pictures. Nobody likes it.
Nobody likes that art.
I really think it's going to make it worse for that person. If that was their program, I'd be against it. But it sounds like it's not. It
sounds like it's a good program.
Yeah.
And now, also, now I'm talking about so many programs altogether that... but everybody gets the idea. Do art and be bad. Let everyone do their own art. I think we are to hometown news, where I tell you news about where you grew up.
Great.
And I got so many for Vegas.
Oh, awesome.
Jake grew up in Las Vegas. You were born in Portland, did you say?
Yeah, I was born in Portland, Oregon. Lived a little bit of my life in Northern California, or mid-California, I don't know. And then I lived almost my entire life in Las Vegas before moving out here to LA.
Yeah. So I did Vegas. That's funny that you say mid-California, because I feel like everyone is very, no one wants to identify their California as that. They're like, no, it's northern, or like, yeah. No, it's south.
Yeah.
It's
I don't know where this place really is. I finally saw it on a map the other day. It was a small town called Three Rivers.
Oh.
And it was like, it's a really, really small place. We lived there only for a brief period, and I almost have no memories about it. So I don't know why I brought it up.
It doesn't exist.
it probably is not real. But I saw it on a map the other day.
Okay.
It's near Sequoia National Forest or something like that.
That sounds, yeah, mid. Mm-hmm. I'm always surprised by how close that is to here. Not close, but I closer than the Redwoods. Well, the first thing I wanted to do was just, before I get to the good news, just read you some random headlines I saw without going into them from Vegas. So, this is not one of them. But Dave Chappelle's going to Vegas on May 5th.
Okay.
Something for people there to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the headlines. Man treated for burns after something explodes in his pocket.
Oh, probably a phone. Oh, no, it's probably one of those vape things.
Oh.
I've heard those blow up.
That checks out. They seem too good to be,
they're,
you know,
too good to be true. Yeah.
Like a whole tiny machine in there with vapors and a heating mechanism.
Yeah, I've heard
and
it blows
a weird
up.
Glass tube where the stuff, something's going to happen.
Have you seen how much smoke people are billowing out? Like when they have like the hookah vape things, like how much smoke they're spewing out. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised by it.
Yeah. Especially because you can't see it. I don't know. I feel like when you have a bong or a hookah or something in front of you, you see the smoke. You see that go into the lungs.
You're not wrong.
Your mind is like, right, that is going. But with a vape, you don't see it at all until someone breathes out.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
Whoa. I didn't expect it.
Another headline. None of these are really good headlines. They just made me laugh really hard. Insomniac surprises Boys and Girls Club with special event.
What?
I didn't click on it because I didn't.
No, and that's fine.
Better than the headline.
I'm just curious what the only defining characteristic about this person is that they're an insomniac. Okay.
And they surprise, is it Boys and Girls Club or just Boys and Girls? Yeah, Boys and Girls Club with special event. There's a tiny photo, and he's wearing like a
sleeping outfit, like the little cap and everything.
He's wearing it's so small on my phone because I did a screen grab, but it's like he looks like a giant Elmo except for orange with huge green eyebrows.
It's just so bizarre because all I can imagine is he's like, I'm an insomniac, so I want to do an event at your Boys and Girls Club. Oh, great. What is it? It's just basically me as like a big sort of orange monster. What does that have to do with being an insomniac? Oh, nothing at all. Nothing.
Okay, sure. Should we call the papers? Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. List me as insomniac, please.
Lawsuit claims Las Vegas police have, quote, vague social media policy. I just like that one because.
Yeah. I mean, what an odd case as a jury, because you have to go back into the room and be like, so, okay, I'll be the first one to say it. I didn't think it was that vague.
It
was insanely vague.
I didn't know what they were trying to say. What is their policy?
Oh, come on. It couldn't be less vague. We have a hung jury. No one can figure out if it's vague or not.
Hearing reset for pig mask suspect in the Bellagio jewelry heist.
Mm, yeah.
Do you know about this one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a guy went into the Bellagio with a mask on. I guess it's a pig mask, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he stole a bunch of jewels from there. Every once in a while, like every 6 months or so, there's some new, like someone tries to rob one of the big casinos.
Yeah.
I can't remember it ever working in my lifetime, but there's always like someone got away with $2 million in chips from the Mirage, but they caught them as they were getting out on the street or whatever.
I mean, we've all seen Ocean's 11. You can't, no regular person. You have to have a ton of, you have to have 11 people.
You have to have,
they have to have so many skills.
Based on that movie, I would say you have to at least have six people.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen it in a while. So they may have even had a seven-person crew in Ocean's 11.
Is it? Why did I think it was? Oh, no, it's 11. God damn it. Are you doing a joke?
They may have had, now that you're saying that, they may have had as many as eight people on that team. Could it be nine? Could be. Sure, it could be.
Sounds
10.
Sounds pretty vague.
Ugh, sounds high. 11? Get out of town. It's less than that.
Las Vegas beekeeper gives advice after last week's attack.
Yeah, they're the one to give it.
Yeah, I can tell you what went wrong.
Yeah. You weren't wearing one of the big suits.
Yeah.
That's the their advice would always be like, first off, why weren't you wearing one of the big suits?
Right.
You know, get the bee smoke. Like, do all the things. Everyone's like, that's not practical advice.
What do I do if I don't have the suit or the mask? The trays?
My first question is, okay, so you have absolutely nothing? Is what you're telling me?
I have nothing. I just had my shirt and some shoes.
At this point, I don't want to be a victim blamer, but if you have no way to protect yourself from a bee, my advice, wear the full outfit, carry the smoke, have the trays, keep the bees, harvest their honey.
I'll wear snow pants next time. That's all.
Okay, fair
enough. That's all I'm doing. We got to take this to the police, but it's too...
Too vague.
I can't even finish this. I'm so
quite
mad
vague.
At that. Vague, vague, vague. Okay, here's the good news for Las Vegas.
Great.
Tickets are on sale. Do you know about Picnic by Design?
No.
They are a fabulous picnic throwing business, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And they are... So, Design Industries Foundation Fighting AIDS, or DIFA. They are...
They could have done better than that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think probably.
It's always really upsetting when a group doesn't get something that becomes a real word.
Yeah,
like DARE. Oh, great job.
So good.
Yeah.
What is DARE even... the word DARE to me, I'm like, I know what that means. But then when I think about what it stands for...
Mm-hmm.
Drugs.
Drug, alcohol, resistance, education?
Oh, yeah, that might
have been
it.
Is that it? I remember the joke we had in school was drugs are really expensive.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why we had that joke, because we didn't know the prices. So there was no way we would know. But when you're a kid...
Another numbers game with Jay.
Yes. As a child, though, any amount of money is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So when the idea is like, there are drugs, we're like, oh, maybe we'll try them. They're like, they cost money. Oh, never mind.
Oh, no, thank you.
Yeah. But as a kid, you don't get the idea. I used to just... assume that money... Let me see if I can get this to make sense. I was in an arcade once, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of my family, like my uncle, aunt, like a lot of people were around. So they were like, all right, here's another little bit. Go continue to play in the arcade. And I remember after leaving the arcade, they were like, you spent so much money in that arcade, you could have just bought a video game and had it at home.
Yeah.
And I just said, let's just do that. Let's do that right now. For some reason, I guess I didn't understand the concept that money was now gone.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, well, we spent that money, and now we have that money again.
Yeah.
Let's spend it again. It doesn't make sense.
Right. I had a similar experience in a Las Vegas arcade. Well, the Las Vegas, was this a Vegas one?
No, I think this was in Oregon.
Okay. Because those Vegas ones are, it's just tiny casinos for children.
Yep.
They're so crazy. Although, if I went there as an adult, I feel like that's actually where I would spend a lot of my time.
I see that. Yeah, that'd be fun.
But yeah, I had a similar experience. Hours. And then I walked away with some, like, one of those little gummy hand things you throw and, like, a tiny bear that I didn't...
The sticky hands are good. That's a good, little gift. I'm not for like spider rings. You know, a ring that is like also like a spider.
Oh.
I'm not big on that.
Yeah.
super bouncy balls that bounce quite a bit, even though you really get one go at it.
Yeah.
Those are pretty cool.
Because then they're gone forever, is my experience. I bounce them too much and you can never catch them.
Yeah.
Down the street.
I remember, yes, you would bounce them down the street as a kid and it was like a rocket. Gone. You'll never find it. Mm-mm. It's gone forever.
Gone.
That's how I look at boomerangs as well.
Yeah.
I don't believe they'll ever come back. I'll throw a boomerang, but that's the last I'll see of that boomerang. I'm sure of it.
I saw a man at the Silver Lake Reservoir Park trying to play Frisbee with himself. That's kind of how I felt watching it for so long. Because it wasn't a boomerang, but he was trying to make it be that kind
sure.
of.
Yeah.
It was a struggle.
Yeah.
It seemed like a struggle.
Yeah.
What was what? Oh, picnics.
Yes.
I was like, what was I even trying to talk about? Picnics make sense.
Yeah.
We're in parks in our mental space right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I alluded that it was. Yeah, I did. About picnic. this is about picnics. They are selling crazy picnic baskets. This part seems very Las Vegas. You get a picnic by design is some sort of event. They have private cabana seating for up to 8 guests, champagne and dessert tray for $1,000. And then they can upgrade if they want to a $15,000 ticket.
$15,000.
$1,500. This is another case of me seeing a number.
I was going to say, this is one hell of a picnic.
So I guess lowest is $75, highest is $1,500, and you get a take-home place settings. I mean, okay, whatever. All that makes me so mad. but then all the proceeds, all of the proceeds are going to the Sin City Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence and the Gay and Lesbian Center. So it's all going towards like... A lot of it is going towards the center that serves the LGBTQ community of Southern Nevada.
That's very cool.
Yeah, that part's cool.
And it's like a whole event. Did they say where they're holding it? Did it mention it at all? I was just curious if like this is in Summerlin Park or this is at a pool at a casino. Like I was just curious what they were.
It doesn't. It's
not that it would help the audience much, but
Symphony
it would,
Park, Smith Center Symphony Park.
Oh, okay, yeah, cool.
Nice park.
You know, not one of my top parks, but
not a good frisbee place.
That's not where I play. You know, but hey,
we can have a very fancy picnic there. It looks like the grass is maybe a little fake in these photos. It's very patchy.
We're not big on grass in Las Vegas.
Okay,
it's very much a desert. And, right. You know, we had grass kind of growing up, but I think the population of Vegas for Vegas started to explode and everyone had these lawns and they were using tons of water and they really can't afford to use that much water. So almost everyone now has the sort of rockscape yards, all the, dividers in like the nice neighborhoods used to be grass, kind of like you'd see up in Beverly Hills or whatever here. And now they're all rocks as well. So even the parks, like there are a few of them that are really nice, but it's just hard to have a nice lawn in the desert.
It is. It gets really hot there.
Yeah. Like up to like 115, 116, stuff like that. But it's a dry heat if that, excites you because I was in New Orleans a little while back, and it is miserably hot. Even when it's 85 degrees, it feels so much worse than Vegas at 115.
Humidity, that level of hotness makes me so grumpy to the point of like crying.
Sometimes. Really?
I feel that way in LA every now and then when it's like September or October. Well, now we have an air conditioner, but the past couple of years we hadn't, and there would be days where I was like... I need this to end.
That's been my theory is why things are like just a little unstable in the Middle East is because I think it's pretty hot there. And I think that just imagine it just being a too hot all the time, yeah. I think you'd start to come up with some rules that maybe wouldn't be that great.
That aren't the funnest. I hope that checks out with me, because, well, I was telling you.
I'm sure that people will listen, you're like, no, there's no way that's why.
But I was telling you how I used to live by UCB Sunset and that Food for Less there. Mm-hmm. That whole area, I didn't realize when we lived there because I was just in it every day. But I go over there now and I'm like, it's kind of, there's a lot going on over here.
Yeah.
It's a little crazy.
Yeah.
But in the morning, if we were out of something, I would like wake up and walk to Food for Less. And on the days where it was super hot, like the first days where it was crazy hot like that, or after a long streak of it, man, just so much anger.
Yeah.
And so I would get yelled at a lot, or people would be fighting in the parking lot of Food for Less, and just a lot of cranky anger.
Yeah.
So it checks out with me.
I just think that amount of heat, I don't know if the cold does it. I'd actually say it probably doesn't, because you look at the coldest places on Earth and everyone's pretty mellow. I think because it takes a lot of energy. Yeah, they don't want to go. It's like, I don't even want to go out there and key that guy's car because it's so cold.
So cold.
Yeah.
They're just sad and cold. My friends in Montana and Wyoming, the winters were so long this year. And I talked to one of my best friends, Haley, and she was like, yeah, we're all just taking turns being sad. She was like, it's my turn today. Like, tomorrow it'll probably be Kendra.
Wow, yeah.
They're just so ready for it to be over. Oh, weather, man. Crazy.
And what it does to you. Nuts, right?
I never thought. It depresses me sometimes how often I talk about weather living in Los Angeles. Like, it's always one of those things where it's like, ugh. We have nothing interesting to talk about the weather, but I'm kind of like, it really affects our lives.
It's really a guy in the elevator. I was in this elevator earlier. So that's why I said a guy in the elevator, a guy in the elevator I was in earlier, said to me, we're supposed to have some bad weather soon. And I was genuinely like, really? He's like, yeah. He's like, but then he said, have you heard that? And I said, no. He's like, oh, then maybe we're not supposed to have it. But for a minute, I was really interested.
Yeah.
Because I want to go to the beach this weekend. And the second I heard that, I was like, get out of the weekend. I want to do it. Of course.
One time I'm trying to go to the beach, drive all the way down there.
And we're supposed to maybe have bad weather, unless I didn't hear about it, because you might be making it up.
God. Okay, wait, I have two more Vegas things to tell you.
Yes.
That first one I did first because I think it's very nice, but also all those people who can go to that fundraiser can kiss my ass. But I'm glad you're giving your rich money to a good thing. There's a place called Homemade, or a company called Homemade. Homemade in Southern Nevada is a charitable arm of the Southern Nevada Home Builders Association.
Mm-hmm.
And they just went into one of the kitchens at US Vets, which is on East Bonanza. There's a street in Vegas called Bonanza.
Yeah, there's a Bonanza. Absolutely.
Oh, man, that just registered with me. That's great. of course there is. Why wouldn't there be? So the United States Veterans Initiative is a transition place for military veterans and their family. They provide housing, counseling, career development, and comprehensive support. They've been around for a minute. Well, not super long, 1992.
That's a long time when you think about 1992.
Yeah.
It's almost my whole life.
Yeah, same. Whoa. But they didn't have a very good kitchen, so they weren't making very good food. And
what do they say? It's like a lousy carpenter who blames his tools.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they didn't have a very good chef. That's what I think. Now
they went about it all wrong.
Yeah, they should have gone in there very. Kitchen nightmare style.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, they're going to do a kitchen remod, no question, but they're also going to fire the head chef, bring in another chef that Gordon Ramsay knows really well, that's going to run the kitchen for
somebody from the strip.
Exactly. Yeah. But they redid their whole kitchen?
Yes. The expansion added 1,000 square feet. That's
huge.
Yeah, this apartment is, I don't know, 600 maybe? Maybe less. Probably 5, maybe 6. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
We'll say 540.
540.
Yeah.
So two of these babies.
That's incredible. That's an incredible amount of kitchen. Mm-hmm. You could record a lot of podcasts in that kitchen.
And they already, I could have one person on each end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's that part of the kitchen thing. Just nice.
That is nice. Yeah.
Bigger kitchen, bigger cakes.
Good for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Southern Nevada Home Builders Association, which did this, since opening its doors, more than 95,000, and I do mean it this time, square feet have been renovated. More than 1,500 homeless children and adults have been served through the great work of countless builders, trades, sponsors, and volunteers.
Hmm. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So good job that.
Building in Vegas was a big thing for a while.
Mm.
It just like the amount of people coming to Las Vegas exploded. So there were housing tracks going up everywhere. I guarantee all of the big builders, I assume, are part of this organization. So it makes sense that they'd have some funds to throw back to the community because they made a lot of money.
So much money. And then the last thing from Vegas was this kid got his bike stolen. And a police officer replaced it for him because he was the one who did the initial report. And this little kid, Jordan, he would ride his bike to school every day. Then it got stolen and he would leave extra early to walk in the morning because he didn't have his bike. Obviously, like, didn't have a ride. So this police officer bought him a new bike.
That's really cool.
And I like that.
Yeah. Boy, I feel like just small things like that make such a big impact in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah,
they really do. I've heard Las Vegas police also, I was listening to something a while back about how they are one of the best in the nation with like learning how to de-escalate situations and sort of like they've had a lot of that kind of training for a long time, like the training that's like that needs to roll out to a lot of the police stations
in so many other places.
Yeah, they've had like tons and tons of training like that. I've heard they're a really good police force in that respect.
That's cool. I would imagine that the stuff they encounter is crazy.
Yeah,
everywhere.
I've always wondered how, like, you know, the deal with Las Vegas, people are going there to get into some trouble.
Yeah.
So as a police force, what do you really crack down on? Because obviously you want to crack down on like a drunk driver. But do you really want to crack down on someone being like drunk on the street, like on the strip? Not really. What would be the point? It's kind of like hurting the vibe of your city.
Yeah. What? Yeah. It sounds, I don't know what would be, what flies and what doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know either. When I was in New Orleans, there were police like on the streets, like around that famous street. What is it called? Bourbon Street.
Uh-huh.
Like around Bourbon Street, and people were drinking in the streets and smoking weed.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't care at all.
Yeah.
The cops could care less. I think they got it. They got, obviously, the police commissioner or whoever makes these decisions was like, hey, guys, this is what everyone's here for. Just let them get drunk in the street over there.
Yeah.
No big deal.
And it's fine. You can have an open container on Bourbon or in New Orleans, right?
I did.
I did too. I'm saying that because I did when I was there. But I think it's fine. I just remember being able to buy a giant plastic sugary smoothie liquor thing and then just walk around until you found the place where you want to buy the next giant plastic.
Oh, I guess you can do that in Vegas too. I've done that in Vegas.
Hmm.
So, yeah. The bullet. Look, the cops know what they're doing over there.
They do a great job.
They're not going to arrest you for having a big football filled with the slushy and tequila.
Yeah. But then, so that's what makes me think when stuff actually happens, it's real crazy.
Right. Well, they do every once in a while have someone try to rob a casino in a pig mask.
In a pig mask.
Yeah.
I think that's so silly. Why would you do a mask that is so, I don't know, I guess to be pig mask guy who stole the jewels? But wouldn't you? I would choose a mask of a face of someone else and go in with that. You want to look like.
You would try to actually look like a real another. You want to do Mission Impossible status, good prosthetics of someone else's face.
Yeah. Get me together with those seven other people from Ocean's 11 and I will. We'll come up with a great plan.
Whose face would you choose?
I was thinking of Regis Philmore. Is that his name?
From Philbin?
Philman?
Is it Phil? That's the Min? Philbin? Film from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yes.
And Regis and Kelly?
That's not who I want to, but I was thinking of that kind of face.
You know, I could see that face. That. Yeah. I would go with a Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Okay, yeah.
I just think, rather than pig mask, it would be cool if someone's like, we don't know who it was. We can't. We haven't caught the person, but it looked like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
That would be cool. And in my head, they can never tell it's a mask.
Oh, yeah. So people would be like, God, it might have been. Like, what if he never died?
Yeah.
Ugh.
That opens up. My eyes were just darting around like with so many ideas. That opens up a whole new thing. I'm going to have to think about my heist. Okay, we're to Animal Corner. This is the last one. And usually Animal Corner.
I have not got to listen to this podcast before, but I do like that we've entered Animal Corner, a segment I didn't know, but you're just like, all right, we're in Animal Corner. We all know it. We all love it.
Animal Corner, just usually a little tidbit about something to do with animals. This one's about a ice cream shop in North Carolina that feeds a squirrel two tiny little ice cream cones a day. And its name is Putter. And they call its name. Oh, that's what it is. They go out and they say Putt Putt, and the squirrel comes out and they feed it a tiny little. I got to show you.
Yeah, I want to see this.
It's just a squirrel eating an ice cream cone.
Mm. Wow, that is very small.
It's just a. The thing about Animal Corner is every time I tell the stories, it's just kind of like, that's like it. Like, no commentary is really necessary. It's just like, this place feeds squirrels tiny ice cream. A squirrel, a specific squirrel. Tiny little ice cream cone twice a day.
That is nice. Yeah.
And it's very cute. I love squirrels. Okay.
Animal Corner came and went.
I like how I was like, this is the cutest thing. I don't want your opinion on it.
Yeah. No discussion needed.
Okay, now we're to my favorite part, which is when I get to ask you about a personal, your own good news time.
Great. I have two things. One's relatively short.
Okay.
And the first thing is just this was like a small thing that kind of got me thinking the other day.
Those are my favorite kind.
I was on the street and I was waiting for my fiance. We were going to go to this restaurant and someone came up to me and he was like, hey, you're on a Herald team at UCB. And we weren't near the theater. Every once in a while near the theater or something like this will happen. I was like, oh, yeah, I am. He's like, oh, I really like your guys' team. I think it's really great. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, thank you so much. I don't really know what to say in these moments. I really appreciate it, but I can't be like, aren't we? Like, there's nothing. What's your favorite part? Like, I just like, oh, thank you so much. It's really nice to hear. Thank you. And he said, there's this guy in my team, Lawndale, and he said, I really like when you and Lawndale have sex in a scene. I've seen it multiple times, which is true. If you see a Rococo show, like, flip a coin half the time the two of us end up having sex in a scene. So I thought that was really nice, and it put a smile on my face. And then I thought about what this little moment did, because this guy, he did not need to do this.
Yeah.
But he recognized me from the theater. He said, hey, I like your team, blah, blah, blah. I took that. I then text my team, you know, like on a group thread, and I mention it to people. So people in there are like laughing about it.
Yeah.
Then my fiance comes walking up. I'm smiling, having a good time.
Yeah.
So I think that probably would bring her energy up. And I just was thinking about how just that little moment, that probably, the way it ended up happening, that probably went out and affected, well, I know it directly affected 9 people.
Yeah.
You know? And then if they're in a better mood because of it, that could affect so many more people. And I was thinking about what a little gesture that was and what little effort it took, but how that could have made so many people's day better in a small way.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
I love that. I think we should be telling each other more often, not to the point of everyone believing they're perfect, but being like, hey, this thing you do, I really appreciate you being in the world because of it. And yeah, the chain reaction of being nice to another person or noticing them in a way that's like, hey, you are on this earth and I think you do this thing great.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Ever since I was at a comedy show a long time ago now, and I was seeing this comedian, Patrice O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
Patrice O'Neill, I think, is very, very, I mean, he was hilarious. And we saw him, and it was a crazy, crazy show. Half the room was not into it, and the other half of the room was loving it. And it was just a weird environment.
Yeah.
It was so, for us, it was so funny. After the show, he was standing out front of the comedy club, and he was just like hanging out. And, you know, there were a couple people around him, and my friend Jim said, should we go up and say something to him? Should we mention that he had a great show? Because he really did, and we really, really loved his comedy. And we're like, there's some people around. I don't want to bother him. Anyway, 2 months later, he died. And it was just such a weird... Ever since then, I will never not go up to a person, not to bother them, get a picture, do the whole thing. But if I like someone and I like something they're doing, I'll just go up and let them know.
Yeah.
Because I thought about that moment. I was like, oh, it would have made no difference, but it might have just been nice. It's just nice to hear.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So the other story, it's a little larger. I'll probably take the same amount of time, but regardless, it's a different...
I'm timing you.
Okay, good. So this is a story about, I guess it's mainly about my dad and mom, but when I was a kid, we lived in Oregon. We lived kind of on this big piece of like land or whatever. My dad had a construction business that at the time was doing really, really well. It's weird because at the beginning of my life, my family had money. And then I was 5 years old, and eventually that it was like all gone. Like after that, we ended up living in like a trailer.
Yeah.
But it was just, so it was kind of a weird thing. But at the beginning of my life, we had some money. So we kind of lived on this little plot of land, and we had a nice house on it. And there's like this big, long, like dirt driveway up to it. We were in this place in Oregon called Yamhill County, which is outside of a small town called Newburgh. It's a really small rural area. And I was, I was 4.5, 5 years old. I was home. My dad was home. I think my mom was at work or she was doing something. I don't have good memories of this moment, but our house caught on fire.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, really caught on fire, and my dad got you know, him and I out of there. It turned out it was arson, like someone burned our house down.
Whoa.
There was like a crazy guy.
What?
It was like this whole thing. He was like stalking my mom. It was very weird. Yes, it was very weird.
Whoa.
So he burned our house down while we were in it. We got out, and this isn't the story, but I remember a nice moment. I was very scared because you're a kid. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I was sitting on this log, kind of like looking at our house. It was burnt down, like fire trucks were there. And I remember telling my dad, Dad, I'm scared.
Yeah.
And he said, it's going to be okay. And he tells me that I immediately was like, okay, great. Like, I totally was like, the situation was over for me. So this was at a point where this was just near the end, like, of my family not having money. The business hadn't been doing well for a little while. Some of his partners, like, took some money and ran. So we didn't have any money at this point. We didn't really know what to do. My dad was still going to work. We were staying with his parents just up the road. And we were... it was just like one of those situations where you don't have any money. How do you rebuild a house?
Yeah.
The insurance company was being difficult because it was arson. There was like, for some reason, that's different than just a fire breaking out. So the insurance company like didn't cover anything. I can't remember all. I don't know all the specifics.
Yeah.
But we didn't have a way to pay for the house. And, you know, my dad was working, didn't know what to do. And again, this is a small, like poorish area there in Oregon. And he came home one day. He came by the house as he was like going to like get something in the garage or something like that, was sort of off the house. He came home and like, I guess the flag was up or not up or something was different about the mailbox in front of the house. And he opened it up, and again, a really poor area. People didn't have money. Inside the mailbox was thousands of dollars.
Oh my God.
Everyone around the entire like area chipped in, and just like, it wasn't like enough money to like do anything crazy with, but through I think partially the insurance started rebuilding the house or whatever, but we had no money for anything else, no money for furniture, no money for anything. We didn't have much. And there was an auction in town that they would do kind of like, I don't really go to auctions, so I don't know how to describe this. But there was an auction house you would go to, and you know, things would be up there like, oh, it's a dining room table, it's a car, it's a bed, it's all this stuff. And my dad went down there with the little amount of money we had from the mailbox or whatever. Again, it wasn't much, but it was all these people had to help out. And he went in there and he says he'll never forget it. Like, it makes him cry when he talks about it. Every single item that came up, that's kind of making me a little emotional. Every single item that came up for auction, the moment he bid on it, not a single other person would bid on anything that was there. And it's just like one of these crazy things where so many people were so kind to us in such a like a bad time.
Yeah.
And my dad is the most selfless, like the kindest person in the world. I wonder if it was that moment. I don't know. Maybe he'd been that way his whole life. But I wonder if that moment made him the kind of person he is today, because he does stuff all the time where it's like there are dogs down at the pound that he goes and checks on every week, and he keeps paying for them to be there. He doesn't have money, but these are just things he does. Like, he supports everyone in his life. And I wonder if a moment like this where everyone was so kind really, I don't know, really kind of put him in that place. I think about that story a lot.
Yeah.
And I think it's just really nice.
I love that story.
Yeah.
That's so good. Oh, I love people. People are good.
They are.
We have to remember.
I think they are. I think inherently we're much better than we are like bad.
I think so.
Yeah.
I really do. That's an amazing story. That's like a real life version of the ending of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Small, and also small town communities. They're so, well, even big cities are just a bunch of small town communities.
Yeah, when you really look at it. I mean, I do think it's easier to do things when it's like a small group, because it's hard when you think like, oh, you hear something like, oh, a million people are displaced from their homes in some country. You're like, what do I do?
Yeah.
But if you do hear in like our community, like, oh, an improviser a little while back got hit by a car and had medical bills, and everybody like was able to chip in just a little bit here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, wow, that, because it's like a small little community, people were able to do that. How great is that?
Yeah. I love that story so much. That like made my day hearing that. I really love hearing people's stories so much.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't sure what to talk about, but that story kind of leapt into my mind.
Yeah, of course. That's a huge story. It's awesome. Yeah, people supporting each other, and I grew up in a small town, and there's like, or just anywhere. Yeah. I was just about to push, like, say an example of a time somebody did something nice for somebody else, and there's too many.
Yeah.
It's good.
it was a big thing. I was having a conversation with a couple people last night about, and I've mentioned this earlier in the show, but just about, we were talking about politics or something and Trump doing this or whatever. And I'm really more at the point where I know I don't have any control over like what Donald Trump does.
Yeah.
But I do have control over being good to the people in my life,
mm-hmm.
picking up some trash on the street, like doing like a piece of volunteer work, like all things that are better for other people and better for the soul than me worrying about all the bad stuff yeah. that can go on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's good to be educated on. I think at a certain point, it helps nobody to just be talking about like all those conversations we have where we're complaining about everything and mad. It's like good to feel that things aren't okay. But then when I think about that time I spent doing that, I'm like, why didn't I go do something? Why didn't I pick up? Why didn't I recycle one time? You know,
like, yeah.
Yeah. And if you think about it in like a very like bright side of the rainbow, what's the silver lining? If you look at it with a very silver lining attitude, if everybody did that and was like everybody just focused on their little ripples, it would get bigger and bigger. Each person would affect more people around them.
Yeah.
Eventually, yeah. The world's freaking perfect.
I think that would be how it goes, right? Yeah. That would be how you fix the world.
Because it's exactly what you were talking about earlier with the compliment that the guy gave you, and then you were nice, and your team like laughed, and you like brought that energy forward with you. I've had that on. I did Lyft driving for a long time. And there was certain days where I was like just so bummed at that that was my day and that I had to drive down to the airport again. And then the people in my car would like, we would end up having a conversation and they would completely change everything for me.
Yeah.
And then the next person I picked up, like that is one thing about that job that I really liked was like the day-to-day interactions where you're like forced to sit in a space and like really appreciate each other. Yeah.
Yeah. That's there. Obviously we're very like social animals, human beings. And I say that like I have some sort of authority. I'm like, obviously, you know, no question. I just say that because I've heard someone say it and it sounds right. But
checks out with me.
If I am ever in like a really, if I am in a bad mood, your natural instinct is to go in, to stay inside, shut things off, other bad things in this voice.
Yeah.
But I think the best thing you can do is just be around people.
Yeah.
So you're around people and you're like, oh yeah, things are fine. I'm being
fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Everything is fine.
Yeah. I just think it totally changes your mood. And also, this isn't, for some people I notice it's easy and I'm very jealous of them, but it's just good to like really engage with a person, like actually talk to someone rather than do the whole like, hey, yep, all right,
cool.
Bye. Cool. See you later.
Good day. Great day. Okay, bye.
Okay, see ya.
Yeah.
I think it's good. It's hard because you don't know if like someone's trying to get somewhere and you're like, hey. but I think it's really good. It's really positive. It totally changes your mood. It changes everything. And if it changes one person's mood, that ripple effect, oh man,
perfect.
We just got to be around more people.
Perfect world. Yeah, I love this podcast because it's actually just an excuse for me to like have an hour and a half where I sit with somebody and we just talk, and it's the best.
Yeah, it's weird how little that happens. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't really speak to this, but I feel like maybe it used to happen more before all this technology, but maybe not. Maybe like as soon as people could write letters, they were like, no more conversations.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny too, like when I had Jonathan Harris on, he and I were laughing about how, and it's just because it's just being a person, but if I was like, hey Jonathan, can you come to my house and just like sit on my couch and just like talk to me one-on-one for a while, he would have been like,
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. It's weird, but like, oh, podcast for sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
What do you want to just hang out and talk about things for a yeah. while? I don't know.
I don't know.
You're very right. That's so true. You should pitch it that way every time.
Yeah, I think I will.
And not tell them it's a podcast yeah. for a while.
Do you want to just, and does 3 o'clock on Wednesday work? Just come over like hour and a half.
No one has ever said something like that.
I know.
I would actually love to try that.
Yeah.
I would love to be like, hey, just like next week sometime, if you're free, do you want to sit somewhere like pretty close to me and just talk at each other for a while? Like,
can be on the same couch or a different one or yeah. just as long as we're in the same room.
That's my apartment. That's great. It's great because I think people will be like, no, weirdo. No, yeah. of course I'll not talk to you. No, there's no way I'm going to talk to you yeah. for an hour. But yeah, it's really nice. I've really liked being on this podcast.
Thank you so much for doing it. This yeah. was such a great afternoon. Thank you, Jake. And
if anyone is watching this, I'm doing a lot of hand signals right now.
A star, like a, was that like a star sweep?
Like yeah, a, I just like for some reason I just like yeah imagine like poof, the sun, stars, everything. Yeah. Like it's maybe it's more of a sunset. Like good night, everyone.
Good night, all.
Good night, world.
Good news later, everybody. Bye.
Bye bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Good News Podcast. Check out the Facebook page, Hello and Good News, and the Instagram, @HelloandGoodNews, for photos and links to the stories I talk about. And if you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review it. Bye-bye.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.